Broadcasting live from the Walter E. Washington Convention Center in the ASTD International Convention and Expo.
Lee Cantor with Stone Peyton here in Washington, D.C. at ASTD 2014 Ice Stone. What a guest we have here right now.
Oh, this is going to be fun, man. We have with us a Senior Organizational Effectiveness and Learning Specialist with a little company some of you may have come to know at 140 characters or less. He is with Twitter. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast, Mr. Nathan Blessy. Welcome to the show, man.
Thanks a lot. Nice to be here.
Well, we are delighted to have you. A lot's changing in the entire arena, but what's happening new and different out there at Twitter these days?
Boy, what's not new and different, I guess, is a better question. It's a wild ride, but it's exciting. We're growing fast, like a lot of companies are, and doing a lot with learning that I think is exciting. And, I'm just enjoying being a part of it.
Now, with Twitter, you guys are, you have offices where, in California? Is that where you're based?
Our headquarters is in San Francisco. But we have offices all over the world now, and that's only growing. Our reach is expanding, and, yeah, we've got about 3,000 employees right now scattered around the globe.
Now, when you're training and developing technical people, are there different challenges than you think, like, a manufacturer would have?
Yeah, there are. I mean, there are a lot of similarities. My group specifically deals with things more on the HR or soft skills side, but... We've got a team that we partner with that's called Twitter University, and they deal with engineers and, how they deem creating a culture of learning for the techs.
Now, do you guys do much what I'll call old school training, like when Lee and I were coming up through the ranks, where there's somebody standing up in front of a classroom and sit down, shut up, give me your milk money, let me tell you how this thing is done, and we'll give you the test. Do you still do a little bit of that, or is most of your stuff over my phone and my tablet?
It's all with Vines.
It's all
right?
6-second little bites on Vines?
All Vines, yes. 100% Vine training, 6 seconds at a time. No, you'd be surprised. We do, especially on the technical side, those guys do mostly classroom training.
How about that?
Yeah, and no surprise, I guess, that people learn from doing more than they learn from anything else, just about. And so when it comes to coding or learning new languages, programming languages, they're doing most of that in the classroom still. It doesn't mean we're not doing a lot of things online and kind of branching out, trying to do virtual learning, but we do a lot of classroom training still. I think there will always be a place for that.
Now, do you ever try to, like, squeeze in learning using the Twitter platform in 140 characters? Do you, try to use your own tool?
We do. In fact, in our management courses, we have a program called Twitter Core 5, and it's part of the class. It's kind of a complement to the course to have the Twitter feed, and people actually do tweet. We use the hashtag for a few different things. It's a great way to capture and keep the conversation going, before, after, and even during the classroom activity.
So, like, you might be doing a classroom activity, and then you'll have a Twitter feed so that the instructor can kind of interact with the group as a whole?
Absolutely. If it's a classroom activity, absolutely. But then other things like even if we're doing some kind of an educational webinar or something like that where it's more of a one-way traditional communication, they're exposing things to a larger audience outside of the headquarters, then the Twitter feed's a fantastic way for people to ask questions and feel like they're part of it in a way that I think is actually harder if you're trying to use a tool and figure the tool out.
So I'm curious to learn what the planning horizon is like at an organization like Twitter that, at least in my mind, is moving so fast. Do you guys have like a 3 to 5 year kind of horizon, or do you have like a 3 to 5 week horizon?
It's
planning?
In minutes, right? Everything's in minutes.
It's minutes, yeah. We don't know what's going to happen in the next 3 to 5 minutes. But no, there is a lot of planning. In fact, I think... the faster things are moving, the more planning you have to do, the more anticipatory you have to be. Our CEO is really big on that, anticipating what's going to come. And it just means you're revising and adjusting your plans all the time. We're doing a lot of that. I mean, we're really interested in shifting to more of a holistic approach to learning and looking at kind of the whole person, not just from a training, you know, classes taken standpoint, but other things that come into play. So it's exciting.
Now, how do you guys manage the workflow in where your tool is like a real-time, 24/7, never-ending flow of information? Is there that pressure to always be on and always be working?
There might be when you, I would say, depends on how long you've been there. Initially, I think people feel that. The reality of many businesses is that when you get in there, you're going to kind of react to the culture, and the pace of our product is, you know, it's fast, it's real time, and it is always on, you're right. But I think people kind of settle in and realize that, you know, it's not sustainable if you're going to try to mimic the Twitter platform with your own body. So, yeah, it's something that you kind of adjust to. It's actually not quite as crazy as people might think.
So how do you guys decide what needs to be trained on? I mean, I can see where there are some fundamentals. Everybody needs to know how to do, you know, these seven things or what have you. But beyond that, is it the executive team coming down from the mountaintop and laying it out, or is it the rank and file coming to you and saying, hey, this is what we really need if you want us to help you fulfill this 3 to 5 year plan? Where does that desire and those things come from?
Sure. It's a little bit of both. I mean, we definitely get strategic priorities and goals from the top, and then we align with some of the company goals. We really want to align with changes and shifts that will affect the business directly. So it's kind of a combo. And then on our end in particular, we've been trying to get better at what some of our team members call ruthless prioritization. So not really so much choosing what we're going to do, but choosing what we're not going to do. Because you feel it's going to be a lot better to get really good at a few things than, you know, spread ourselves thin and try to do everything.
Can you share a little bit about how you execute that ruthless prioritization?
Yeah, actually, we have a few different ways. We have some talented guys within the org who help us lead something called retrospectives that we're really interested in, where we kind of place things in three columns. Basically, it's like start, stop, and things we're not going to do anymore. And you start to go down the list. Here are all the things on our plate. Let's figure out what we need to keep doing and figure out what we're not going to do anymore, at least right now. So that's part of it. And, a vote comes into play, and also things like what you alluded to earlier, what the company's doing, the strategic priorities of the company come into play as well.
Now, how do you guys keep the culture now that you're a public company, has things changed from a culture standpoint?
It's a bunch of old guys sitting around smoking cigars now. No more skateboards, no more Nerf balls.
It all changed, yeah. Yeah, as soon as we became public, free food was gone. I was not with the company for a long time prior to becoming a public company, but I can say even the short time I was, there's been very little change with the way, day-to-day operations. There's certainly, from the outside, there gets to be a lot more pressure. There's a lot more in the news and people analyzing every little thing that's going on, which is to be expected. I think for the most part, most of the company is not really letting that get to them at all. So it's an interesting shift just as far as what you listen to and what you don't now. But as far as the day-to-day work, it hasn't really changed at all.
Now, from your training, it sounds like a lot of it is internal training. Is there any opportunities to train your enterprise clients?
We do, on the sales side, there actually is quite a lot of external training going on. We actually have a portal, and our people in sales can speak to that more accurately than I can, but they're doing a lot of work to help people use the platform to its full potential. So we do a lot of that, and then with our internal training, we use our own needs assessment and training needs assessment to determine whether or not this is something we actually want to learn enough to train ourselves, or just bring someone in who knows a lot about it. We like hiring people and getting people to come in and show what they know.
Now, do you guys have to put some thought into, multi-generational training, or is it all a bunch of young guys at this point, or other diversity cuts, different subcultures in the organization? Do you have to design some training with that in mind?
There's certainly some with that in mind. We're really that will, you know, is definitely one of the big challenges when you are becoming global, is that you want to think globally, and thinking globally means considering everyone outside of our headquarters and outside of the main office. And you do then design things very differently than you would for, you know, a classroom training full of people in San Francisco. So there are a lot of different considerations. That said, we are still firm believers that, you know, good learning is good learning. So we're not necessarily going to target the individual, but yeah, on a global, you know, from a global perspective, we are definitely designing with people all over in mind.
Now, how do you attack a conference like this? What's your game plan?
That's a good question. I was actually going to ask you guys.
We hide like, behind the microphone.
We just sit here. People come to us.
Yeah, okay. You look like you've done this before. I walked down the stairs today, and I was blown away. This is gigantic.
Does Twitter do conferences like that, like kind of user conferences or Twitter, your own internal?
Not necessarily user conferences. We have some great guys on the engineering side who do a lot of different kind of meetup style conferences. In fact, I participate in some of those as well, where we get learning people from different organizations together to share thoughts and really talk about things that are going to make us better, so that we can kind of learn together. As far as Twitter specifically holding, you know, a Twitter conference, that's not something I know about, but reaching outside the org from a learning perspective is something we're starting to get really good at.
All right, where can our listeners go to learn more?
Well, there are a lot of places, but I'm going to have to say Twitter is a great spot. And
there's, you know, a few folks talking over there.
Yeah. All bias aside, I actually was on Twitter. I started to work at Twitter because I was learning so much from using Twitter.
Yeah, how did that start? I didn't ask you that. What's the backstory, man? How'd that get going?
Yeah, you know, for me, I was a user who kind of followed a lot and found out I was getting my information there faster and easier than I was anywhere else. And so, yeah, when the opportunity came along, it was kind of a no-brainer. I was excited to join the team. So, yeah, Twitter's a good place to be, and I would say, yeah, check it out. We're actually interested, again, in interacting with people outside the company. I think you learn a lot from other orgs, not just your own. And so we've even started a Twitter learning handle now, where we're trying to interact even more at learning. So kind of sharing ideas from all over.
Well, you can follow all of our interviews here at hashtag ASTD2014 on Twitter.
All right.
Which you knew that, right?
Absolutely. I've tweeted from it a couple times.
Well, Nathan Blessy with Twitter, it has been an absolute delight having you on the broadcast. Thank you so much, man.
Thank you.
This has been a special Business Radio X production brought to you by Training Pros, your source for local learning and development experts. Learn more at training-pros.com.